Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, a very familiar passage. It's a passage that talks about the purpose of our church. For the last almost 2.5 to 3 years, we met in the junior high. You as a body have done so many things. Think about it. You came in, you set up chairs, you took down chairs. You brought in tables. You set up and took down the nursery. You set up and took down a sound system. You took cameras in. You did this. You set up classes. You brought in the donuts, the water. We met in homes. We met in hotels. And by God's grace, we've been able to function. But today, things are changing. We have a building. We have a place to meet. If you've been around, if you had the opportunity to go through, we have classrooms and an auditorium and a kitchen and a children's nursery and rooms and playgrounds and youth meeting rooms and college and adult classes and all kind of rooms and offices. There's so much changing and so much exciting. We got some things coming in maybe about a month. We've got some things called the Grow Groups. And then we've got our Wednesday night children's ministry is going to start. On Wednesday nights, we'll have our Bible Institute, but we'll also have this amazing children's ministry that will meet in here and other places as well. So many great things are coming. But we need to realize something, that even though things are changing, there are some things that will not change and will never change. I want you to remember something, and that is this, that the church is not the building. The church is the people. The people, who we are. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, He places you in the body of Christ, and we meet in local groups, and so here we are. We are the church, the body of Christ. And there's so much excitement about a new building and the facility and the ministries that we can do, but I want you to stop and think for something. Think about something for just a minute. There are certain things that will not change. Let me remind you what they are. First of all, our purpose. Our purpose will not change. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came out and spoke, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples." That's our purpose of our church, is to make disciples. We call it the Great Commission. It will not change. I'm going to go into detail on this in just a little bit, but making disciples involves evangelism, sharing our faith, and training, helping people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we'll see more about this later, but our purpose as a church does not change and will never change. And there's something else that won't change. We have certain distinctives that make this church unique. There are three things that I want you to think about that make us unique, that are Stillwater Bible Church, and these will never change as well. The first of all is this. It's what we call the grace message of salvation. We believe that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone. We hold to what we call the grace message of salvation. The newspaper wanted an article about, as they said, "Are you a denomination?" We said that we are called a free grace church. That means a church that holds to the salvation message that is faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing. No good works, simply for salvation. Jesus Christ is the Savior who died and rose again, and all who believe in Him will have eternal life. It's not works, it's faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." One of the most famous verses in the Bible, of course, is John 3:16, how God so loved us that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to do what? To come to the earth, to die on the cross, to pay for sin, to rise again, and whoever will believe in Him will never perish but have eternal life. My hope and prayer is this. Every one of you in this room, many of you I know, we've come together for a good while. I hope and pray that every person here today has put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the only way to have salvation, and that's what we believe at our church, is faith alone in Christ alone. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, Paul says that you believe in Christ for eternal life. That's the offer. When people talk about believe in Jesus for what? You believe in Jesus for eternal life. He is giving you the gift of life because He died and rose again. He has paid for sin. He has made the way open to heaven, and we're saved by faith alone in Christ. So our church, it's not going to change. We're going to hold to the grace message of salvation. There's something else. The second thing is expository teaching. That means we teach through the Bible verse by verse and passage by passage. We teach the Bible. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions." We are to teach the Bible. That's what we've always done. That's what we're going to do. The Bible is the foundation for this church. That's why we call it Stillwater Bible Church, because the Bible is the foundation. What do we think about the Bible? Think about this. We think that 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scriptures inspired by God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible is God's word alive. The third thing that we see about the word is it's never void. It never comes back void. Isaiah 55:11 says his word is going to touch lives in the way that he wants to do it. That's why it's so important that at this church, that the Bible is taught, because God uses his word in people's lives. And then last but not least, of course, the Bible The Bible is the truth. So we hold to the perfect, inerrant word of God. The goal is to teach it verse by verse, passage by passage. Let me say something. We don't teach people's books. We don't make up sermons. We teach the word of God. We hold to what they call the historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, which means we look at the Bible in its context, how it fits together, what the words say and how they fit together so that we can understand it. We teach the Bible. We've almost been a church for 3 years, and over that period of time, we taught through the Gospel of John, the book of Acts, Ruth and Esther, and now on Sunday mornings, we've been going verse by verse through Hebrews chapter 11. When we get through that, we're going to pick a book and we'll start going through that so that we can know and apply the Word of God. So one of our distinctives is expository teaching. It's the teaching of the Bible, and it's the foundation for our church that will not change. So our grace message will not change. Our expository teaching will not change. But the third distinctive that will never change is this, that believers do the ministry in the body. Do you think that the staff did this? We just show up. You did this. This is your church. This is your ministry. The work of the ministry is done by the believers. Ephesians 4:12, we equip the saints to do the ministry. We're to fulfill the ministry, and each one of you have a part in that. Each one of you with your gifts and talents and abilities. Let me say it this way. Listen carefully. You have a staff not to do the ministry, but to train you to do the ministry. From the very beginning of the church, it's always been that way. From this body, you have, the ministry has been done and will continue to be done by you. You share your faith. You touch lives for Jesus Christ in this community. You meet needs. You're reaching out to people. You love people. You represent Jesus Christ. You have done and you will continue to do the ministry. So what doesn't change in this body? Our purpose to make disciples will not change. Our distinctives, the grace message of salvation, expository teaching, and believers doing the ministry, that will not change. There's one other thing that will not change, and that's what we call our expectations. What do we expect of you? That we've gathered this morning to worship Jesus Christ. We've come and we're a body and we say, we're the believers. We meet at this place. And you can say, hey, it's out there on the highway. Just look. You can see the sign. It's a great sign, by the way. So, and people say, what do we do? What do we expect? Well, here's what we expect. We expect you to worship our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We expect you to make as a priority to come as often as you can, especially Sunday mornings, where we come together corporately. Now, we know that you can worship God anytime, any place, anywhere, but the Bible talks about believers meeting together on a regular basis. We meet together on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. So we challenge all of us that we gather together, we come and we worship our God and Savior. And so one of the questions could be for each one of you and for me as well, is this a priority in our lives? Is it a priority to meet together with fellow believers and worship corporately? That's what we expect. We also expect you to fellowship. We expect that you to reach out and to touch each other's lives. And when we say fellowship, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and it has the idea of unity of purpose. We're talking here about how you reach out to each other. We have a time every Sunday morning when we get back to our regular schedule from 9:15 to 9:45. We'll have coffee, donuts, opportunities for you to come and to talk with other people and to fellowship. And as we begin in a few weeks what we're calling grow groups, you'll have opportunities to get into smaller groups and fellowship and know one another and equip one another and all those kind of things. We have home fellowships that if you're not in one of those, we would love for you to be in that. Sometimes they meet once a month, sometimes every other month. It's opportunities to get with people. We expect you to do that. So we expect you to worship. We expect you to fellowship. There is a third thing that we expect from our believers, and that's training. And I think I have this slide. It is to be taught and to teach others. Now, you all would say, oh yeah, one of the things I'm supposed to do is get taught the scripture and learn the Bible. But not only are you to know the Bible, you're to be able to turn around and help other people know the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, Paul said to Timothy, take the things that you've been taught and then turn around and trust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. One of the things that we expect is that all of us, as we're learning and growing and studying the Bible with the opportunities that we have, then you know it and you get trained and you get equipped and you grow and then you turn around and you're able to help other people. In fact, that's what Ephesians says, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We want to train you and then you train others. Now, we have a lot of opportunities. Sunday mornings, when we come together on Sunday mornings, especially in the big service like this, we're going to teach you the Bible. We're teaching through Hebrews. We're going to teach through books of the Bible. We're going to understand it and make application. We've got grow groups in which not only is there fellowship, we're going to teach the Bible. We've got on Wednesday nights our Bible Institute. It'll start in the fall, and we have a number of classes that you can take, and they're on a semester basis, and they will help you know the Bible. They'll help you be trained and equipped to do ministry in this community. And it's a great opportunity. We'll have information in the next week or two on what the classes are, when you can sign up, and those kind of things. We'll have Bible studies during the week where you can come and be taught and also teach. So we expect you to learn the scripture and grow and know it and apply it and then pass it on to others. To be growing Christians, that's the key. Take what you know and pass it on. One final thing, and that is we expect you to serve. We expect you to do ministry. Now, a lot of people think that church is, well, I just go to church. I get up and I find a parking space. I come in, I get my seat, sit in the same place every week. I sit in the same place every time. I've already got my place right there, so nobody touched that place, okay? But anyway, that's my place. But anyway, that's what we do. But we got to realize that serving God is not coming to church necessarily. Now, there are times we serve God while we come to church and while we do things. But serving God is using the gifts, talents, and abilities that he has given to us. As Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, he said there's one body with many members all working together. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says it's the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. So where are you serving? You realize what went on this morning to get ready for today? I mean, there's been things going on weeks, and the people who are building the building have been doing that, but there have been people from our church up here doing things all the time. And yesterday, and the day before that, and then this morning, people got here early, and they began to set things up and check everything out. There are people who serve all the time, not only on Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights and weeknights and everything else. So where can you serve? Where can you use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to you? Where can you plug in? Listen, we need help with parking, seating, greeting, nursery, youth, college, children, hospitality, men, women, building, grounds. That's just a starting place. Where can you plug in? What can you do? We all get to serve and carry out the ministry. I wanted to say one other thing, and Brian mentioned it. And most people don't like to talk about it, but the idea of giving. You have been so generous. You've given so much. Don't stop, okay? Don't stop. Because we've got the regular budget and we've got the building. And you know, the Bible talks about it's an act of worship to give. As we take what we purpose in our heart, what God has given us, we take a portion of that, and out of worship and love and trust, we give away. And so thank you for your generosity. But we need it for the budget and we need it for the building. And we thank you that as an act of worship, you can give. And so we appreciate all you do that. So what do we expect? We expect you to worship. We expect you to fellowship. We expect you to be taught and teach others. We expect you to serve. What will not change in this church? Our purpose, our distinctives, our expectations, and finally, the challenge. We've gone from the barn to the building. Now what? See, this really isn't the end. This is just the beginning. People have been saying things like, oh, I'll be so glad when we get in that building. I'll be so glad when that building gets built. I'll be so glad when we get to come do this. I'll be so glad when we get to do this. Well, we're here. This is not the end. Listen, look at this right here. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the ministries that God has for us. This is the beginning. It takes us back to our purpose. Why are we here? What is our purpose as a church? Look again at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I just want to go through it very quickly. And as for those who may be visiting for the first time, this is not how we normally do it. I don't just talk. We normally teach through passages of the Bible. So I want you to look at a passage. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is, Jesus has died and risen again. He's walked on the earth not quite 40 days yet. He has told his disciples to meet him at a mountain, at a hill in the Galilean part. Notice verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus taught with his men on a mountain in Galilee before he ascends to heaven. And he said, I have all authority. And here's what I want you to do. Go therefore and here it is, make disciples of all nations. Our responsibility as the body of Christ, as the believers, is to make disciples. And that involves two things. That's evangelism and training. That's leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them. Every one of you in this room, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Somebody helped you understand that Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and you could trust in him and him alone and you'd have eternal life. You have the privilege and responsibility of telling somebody else how they can have eternal life. That's the first part of making disciples, but the second part is the training part. Notice what he says, teaching, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So not only do we lead people to Christ, but then we train them and equip them. We bring them into the body, and we get them into Bible studies, and you take what you know, and you help them grow so that we can all do the ministry. As a body, we must fulfill our purpose. This is for real. This changes lives. This many people can change that entire community. This many people can touch that community in a way that we could not even imagine. We have a little goal connected with making disciples, and it's this verse. Look at it. Colossians 1:28, Paul writes and says, and we proclaim him, talking about Christ. We proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man. Admonishing means to cheer, to build up and to encourage. Teaching means to train them. So we encourage each one. We train each one with all wisdom. Why? So that we may present every man, every believer, complete. And the word complete means mature. The goal is that we help train everyone so that we can be mature believers and do ministry. We have Sunday morning and grow groups, Bible Institute and Bible studies and college ministry and youth ministry and children's ministry and things for men and women, all for you to serve and all for you to be served and to make disciples. This is your church. We must proclaim the gospel. We must lead people to Christ. We must invite people to come be with us. We must invest in lives so that we can change this community and our world for Jesus Christ. May we be found faithful to use this facility to carry out the ministry of this local body. So let me give you some applications. Praise God for all that he has done for us. I will say this. Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices in praise and adoration to you for what you have done for us. Our second application, let's faithfully fulfill our purpose as a church. What is our purpose? Let's make disciples. Let's do it. Let's reach out to people. Let's share our faith. Let's help people grow. The third application is may we connect every one of you. If you would say, this is your church, let's connect by worshiping, fellowshipping, training, and serving. And last but not least, let's pray that God will use this church for his glory. So let's pray that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now, Lord, that you have done beyond what any of us could ask or imagine. You have brought us together this morning for a reason. We thank you that we can worship Jesus Christ. We can praise his name. Thank you that he died and rose again. Thank you that he gives eternal life simply by faith.